ॐ मां व्याख्या प्रकृतिः परब्रह्मतत्त्वं युवानं वारशिष्टान्ते वसदृशिगणैरावृतं ब्रह्मनिष्ठैः आचार्येन्द्रं करकलितचिन्मुद्रमानन्दरूपं स्वात्मा रामं मुदितवदनं दक्षिणामूर्तिमीडे पटलितपि समीपे भूमिभागे निषण्णम् सकलमुनिजनानां ज्ञानदातारमारात् त्रिभुवनगुरुमीशं दक्षिणामूर्तिदेवं जननमरणदुःखचेतदक्षं नमामि चित्रं वटतरोर्भुवे वृद्धा शिष्या गुरुर्युवा गुरोस्तु मानं व्याख्यानं शिष्यास्तु छिन्न संशयाः निध्ये सर्वविद्यानां विशिषे भवरोगिणां गुरवे सर्वलोकानां दक्षिणामूर्तये नमः ॐ नमः प्रणवर्थाय शुद्धज्ञानैकमूर्तये निर्मलाय प्रशान्ताय दक्षिणामूर्तये नमः ॐ विश्वं दर्पण दृश्यमाननगरी तुल्यं निजान्तर्गतं पश्यन्नात्मनि मायया बहिरिवोद्भूतं यथा निद्रया यः साक्षात् कुरुते प्रबोधसमये स्वात्मानमेवाद्वयं तस्मै श्रीगुरुमूर्तये नमः इदं श्रीदक्षिणामूर्तये बीजस्यान्तरिवाङ्करो जगदिदं प्राणिर्विकल्पं पुनः मायाकल्पितदेशकालकलनावैचित्र्यचित्रीकृतं मायावीव विजृम्भयत्यपि महायोगी वयस्वेच्छया तस्मै श्रीगुरुमूर्तये नमः इदं श्रीदक्षिणामूर्तये
Chant after me. Yasyaiva spuranam sadatmakam.
Yasyaiva spuranam sadatmakam.
Yasyaiva spuranam sadatmakam.
Yasyaiva spuranam sadatmakam.
Asatkalpartakam bhasate.
Asatkalpartakam bhasate.
Asatkalpartakam. Kalpartagam bhasate
asat kalpartagam bhasate
sakshat tattvamasiti vedavachasa
sakshat tattvamasiti vedavachasa
sakshat tattvamasiti vedavachasa
sakshat tattvamasiti vedavachasa
yo bodhayatyashritan
यो बोधयत्याश्रितान्
यो बोधयत्याश्रितान्
यो बोधयत्याश्रितान्
यत्साक्षात्करणात् भवेन पुनर् यत्साक्षात्करणात् भवेन पुनर् आवृत्तिर्भवाम्भो निदौ
आवृत्तिर्भवाम्भो निदौ
यत् साक्षात्करणात् भवेन पुनरावृत्तिर्भवाम्भो 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 निदौ
तस्मै श्रीगुरुमूर्तये नम इदं श्रीदक्षिणामूर्तये
तस्मै श्रीगुरुमूर्तये नम इदं श्रीदक्षिणामूर्तये
Oh, Timmy. You're a good girl.
Okay, let's do the Sunday. Yasya eva spuranam. Yasya eva spuranam. Sat atmakam, sadatmakam, sat atmakam. It's compound sadatmakam. Asat kalpa artha gam, compound. Asat kalpartagam, right? Asat kalpa artha gam, asat kalpartagam. Bhasate sakshat tet twam asi iti. Sakshat tet twam asi iti. Veda vachasa yo yaha. So Veda vachasa yaha bodhayati, bodhayati ashritan.
On the sakshat twam. Mm.
Sakshat typo. That should be sakshat double ta, then double ta again. Mm. Sakshat tet twam. See that? It should be two double tas. Sakshat tet twam. Asi iti. Veda vachasa yaha bodhayati bodhayati ashritan.
What line is this?
We're on the third line now. I'll fix this at the break, but it means you'll have to reprint it or, you know. Yet, then third line, yet sakshat karanat, that is a ta, karanat bhavet. Na asita bhavet na punar avritihi bhavam bhava ambo nidau. Bhavam is compound. Bhava is samsara. Bhava amba ambo nidau. Okay, bhava amba. From Ambas, Ambo Nigao.
Yeah, we did that.
Yeah, we did it yesterday. Yeah. Tasmai Shri Guru Murtaye Nama Idam Shri Dakshina Murtaye. Okay? You know, do you notice that all the way through in all of these shlokas, the first three lines will have forms of yet. Like here you have yesya in the first line. The second line you have yaha. The third line you have yet. See that? Yesya, yaha, yet. And then in the fourth line you have a form of tut, tasmai. So yet and tut go together as a relative and correlative. So it would be like salutations to him whose. Or salutations to him, tasmai, who, like yaha is who. Tasmai, yasya would be of whom. And so in Sanskrit, when you have this relative, co-relative, both are always put there. Even though in English we don't always say both, in Sanskrit you always say both. So there's going to be a form of yaha and a form of ta, form of yad and a form of tud. And so the whole structure is like that in these verses. So the bottom line is the same in all of them. Namaha idam, this salutation, tasmai, to him. Right? This idam, this namaha, this namaskar, this salutation, and nama always governs the fourth case. So salutations tasmai, which is the dative case, salutations to him. And then, for some of you, I'm giving more information than you need, and for others, I'm giving, you know, but just kind of give you some scars for Sanskrit. So salutation, this salutation, tasmai, governs the dative to him. Then Shri Guru Murtaye is a dative that's defining this him, this pronoun. The one who is in the form of my teacher, Shri Guru Murtaye. Dakshina Murtaye, again dative. So salutations to him, Lord Dakshina Murti, who is in the form of my teacher, the Sampradaya, right? so the same knowledge, the same... See, the sampradaya is really wonderful here. There's two aspects to it. One is that the self of Dakshinamurti is the self of the teacher, is the self of the student. So there's that. You know, so in fact, Dakshinamurti, which is the self, really, is now in the form of the teacher, who is teaching the student, who is also the same self. So that's one on one level. The other level is, what Dakshinamurti is teaching is exactly what your teacher is teaching. Mm-hmm. That's the sampradaya. That's why they use the sampradaya, means that flow of teaching from teacher to student, should be like the lighting of one candle to another. Right? If I take a candle with a candle flame and I light the other candle, now there's no difference between the two candles, right? That's the sampradaya, that's the knowledge, the teaching methodology, the teaching tradition that's passing from teacher to student, teacher to student. And that sampradaya starts with Ishwara, starts with the Lord in the form of Dakshinamurti. That's how Dakshinamurti is visualized and meditated upon as the first teacher. So the flow of knowledge is whatever Dakshinamurti was teaching is what your teacher is teaching. The self of Dakshinamurti is the self of the teacher, is the self of the student. So
it's exactly the same.
Exactly, right? The same.
If Dakshinamurti was here, we'd be hearing the same.
You'd be hearing the same thing. Maybe he does it a little bit.
No.
The vision is the same. The vision and the sampradaya.
Levels of reality.
Yeah. It's the passing. When you say the passing of the sampradaya, you're passing the teaching methodology from teacher to student. And what is being taught is exactly the same. Right? The knowledge, when we say jnanam, knowledge or prama, jnanam, the word jnanam, just for a little additional information, the word jnanam, we use it as just to mean knowledge. Atma jnanam, self-knowledge. But we can also put the word jnanam to juxtapose it with prama. If we juxtapose these two terms, then jnanam means a cognition. And a cognition means a vritti. Any vritti, thought modification, a cognition can be true or false. In other words, you have a cognition of a snake on a rope. Right? You're not seeing the rope, you're seeing the snake. So the cognition is of the snake. So you can have what's called mithya jnanam, a cognition which is false. It's mithya, it's not true. Right? It's called a false cognition. But the cognition is there. So the word jnanam can include all cognitions. If it's being juxtaposed with the word prama, if it's juxtaposed with the word prama, then the cognition is true to the object, to the vastu. And that's what we call jnanam or prama. It's something, prama takes place through a means of knowledge called a pramana. Pramana is a means of knowledge. If the means of knowledge is not obstructed, like for instance, the pratyaksha is sense perception. Sense perception is meant to give you an accurate representation of the object that you're perceiving, unless they'll use examples, you know, unless your eyes are jaundiced and everything looks yellow, or you have astigmatism and you're seeing double, that type of thing, then the pramana itself is compromised. Or if you're using your eyes to see, but the conditions aren't appropriate, like for instance, it's dark outside, so you can see the darkness, but you can't see the objects. So when the pramana is properly functioning, then it's giving prama. And for something to be prama, it has to be true to the object, right? That's what we mean by knowledge. If the cognition is not true to the object, then it's a false cognition, it's mithya jnanam, right? And so here, when we're talking about the sampradaya, you know, the teaching tradition that's handed down from teacher to student, teacher to student, teacher to student, it's meant to give prama, which is a knowledge which is true to the vastu. The vastu means, literally it means thing, the thing. And if you're just talking about it just in relative reality, this is a vastu, this is a vastu, there's many things in this room, there's many vastus in this room. But for this word vastu, when you analyze mithya, and when you analyze the maya, everything that exists within duality, what you discover is that there is no vastu. There's only names within names within names within names. There's no actual thing here. There's only conglomerates. And so the word vastu in the end, resolves into Brahman, because the Brahman is the only thing which is not divisible into, you know, names within names within names within names. So Brahman actually is the thing. The thing actually is. It's not a name for a conglomerate. So when we say Vastu, often when Shankara uses the term Vastu, he's talking about Brahman. Mm-hmm. Because all other things are mitya. They aren't real. Mm-hmm. They're just a name. They're a name for a conglomerate. So we would say all that's here are names within names within names within names. There is no real Vastu. Okay, so in the teaching tradition, when we think of the pramanas available to us within mitya, within duality, the pramanas give knowledge. We will say give prama, you know. If the pramana is working properly, it will give you an accurate knowledge of what that pramana is being used for, like an inference, for instance, or a presumption. But of course, the accuracy of that knowledge is only within the confines of relative reality. So in the end, the only real pramana is the pramana that gives you a pramana that is true, you know, that is actually true, because all of this is mitya. However, all of the pramanas, for them to be a pramana, they have to give accurate knowledge within what we call vyavahara. Vyavahara means empirical reality. Empirical reality means a shared reality. So that if I say, you know, this is a microphone stand that Chaitan built, we're all looking at this thing and enjoying, through our sense perception, a shared, you know, the perception of a shared reality. That's what we mean by vyavahara. If you were to mistake something, you know, superimpose something like the rope snake superimposition or something, what we call pratibhasika. Pratibhasika means it's a subjective reality and you're the only one seeing it. Right? So if you looked at this and thought, oh my gosh, there's a snake coiled around this microphone stand, everybody would just kind of look at you and say, really? That's pratibhasika. Your dreams are pratibhasika. Mm-hmm. Your imaginations are pratibhasika. You know, your projections are pratibhasika. Anything that's not shared reality. So you have within maya, you have what we call, maya means this manifest reality of time, space, the whole creation, everything that exists within duality. Within maya, you have two orders of reality. One is called vyavahara. Vyavahara is the shared reality, the empirical reality, Ishvara. It's Ishvara's reality. We can all be having the same experience. Pratibhasika is the subjective reality, where we're not, it's coming from the jiva. The Vyavaharika is called Ishvara Srishti. Ishvara's creation is Vyavahara. It's what is actually here, what is shared, what is not, cannot be created by the jiva in the form of a projection. Right? So that vyavaharika, empirical reality, shared reality, is called Ishvara Srishti. It can be referred to as Ishvara Srishti. It means it's Ishvara's projection. Whereas pratibhasika, the scene of a snake on a rope, right? The scene of a snake on a rope, or a ghost, you're posed as a ghost or something like that, you know, or the mirage water, or seeing a seashell as a piece of silver. These are stock examples. Those are what's called jiva srishti. It's the jiva's projection, the jiva's creation, the individual's projection, so subjective reality. Dream is another, subjective. So now this vyavaharika and pratibhasika, right, are all mitya. They're all mitya, you know. They comprise the mitya. That's the order of reality. Mm. Whereas paramartika is the absolute reality, means it's not something which can be revealed as maya. It can't be revealed as maya upon analysis. Mm. Right? Pratibhasika can be revealed as maya, you know, as being, not having any independent, as being mitya, having no independent reality. Pratibhasika can be revealed as that. the Vyavaharika can be revealed as that. It's been revealed as mitya. Means it doesn't have an absolute reality. It has a dependent reality. You can't categorize it as sat or as asat, meaning non-existent. That's mitya. Sat, asat, bhyam, anirvachaniya. It can't be categorized as real or as unreal. Upon analysis, it disappears. It doesn't have any being of its own. Whereas paramarthika satyam is absolute reality. It can't be negated. Upon analysis, it can never be negated in any way. It can't be negated in past, present, or future. That's what we mean by paramarthika satyam. So that is the reality. The asat, when we use asat as absolute non-existence, that's kind of a non-issue because it's not there. But we use asat called tucham in order to differentiate mitya, which is there but has no reality, from satyam, which can't be negated. So these are the orders of reality. And when the sampradaya, the whole teaching tradition, takes place, you know, one of the major goals, say, is to be able to differentiate, to have the student be able to differentiate the paramarthika satyam from the vyavaharika satyam, from the pratibhasika satyam. That's the task, right? Because if you understand that task, then it's not that this doesn't exist, that it doesn't enjoy an empirical reality that can be enjoyed through science and math and all of these type of things. There's an empirical reality here. But that empirical reality is mitya, right? It doesn't have an independent reality because it's names within names within names within names. Everything goes into an infinite regress. But the substance of it is paramarthika. So we need to discover in this the totality of this experience myself as the satyam of the mitya. That's the task. It's not that myself is the satyam of this mitya body. It's myself as the satyam of the whole, right? And so that's the whole teaching methodology, and for that teaching the teaching methodology has to deliver those goods. And the delivery of those goods is simply the recognition of that reality which is present. And so the recognition of it is called aparoksha jnanam. It's a knowledge which is immediate and direct. It's not an intellectual, theoretical knowledge. It's a recognition of the reality of which this body, mind, sense organs are a part. So it's a direct, immediate knowledge that is taking place through this teaching methodology, you know, of the Upanishads. The Upanishads are not just, you know, theoretical knowledge. It's an actual teaching tradition that's meant to make the student recognize what their sense organs are not capable of recognizing. And all of the sense organs and all of the other means of knowledge are based upon, all of the other means of knowledge are based upon sense perception, right? Whether it's inference or presumption, you know, or anupalabdhina, seeing there's no elephant in the room, or being able to compare, or even indirect knowledge by shabda pramana, like if I give you directions on how to get to, you know, Whole Foods or something, that's all shabda, you know. Those things are, those means of knowledge that we have, only their sphere of reality is only that which exists within duality. That's what they are good for. They can't, their sphere, their kind of, what we call their epistemological limits, do not include the nature of consciousness itself. Consciousness illumines that whole process, but consciousness is not an object to be perceived by these means of knowledge. And so therefore, to have a means of knowledge, a means of knowledge available to you to recognize what is already present, just like your sense organs give knowledge of what is here. Right? That's what knowledge is. It gives knowledge of what is here to be recognized. But what means of knowledge is there to recognize the nature of the self or the nature of the very ground of being of this whole creation? You can only see nama-rupa in one way or another and their relationships. And so the Upanishad is a means of knowledge teaching methodology that holds up a mirror to the whole of reality, which includes your being. Right? So it's meant to give aparoksha jnanam, it means a knowledge which is immediate and direct, but is not pratyaksha, means not something that you see through sense perception, nor is it aparoksha, something which is indirect. That paroksha means indirect. Like, okay, you can't see the atma because it's not object, so you can only have indirect knowledge. No. Because you are the atma, because you are self-effulgent, because your nature is Brahman, it is self-effulgent. It is there. It is there because it is there, but not objectifiable, but it is there to be recognized. You can gain knowledge of it, but the knowledge is neither pratyaksha, something gained through perception, or any of the other means of knowledge that are dependent on perception, nor is it paroksha, indirect. You can't have indirect knowledge of yourself because you're absolutely immediately present. So that's why knowledge is called aparoksha, not indirect. It's not protection, but it's not indirect.
But Carol, still, even the way that we use Upanishads as the pramana, we still have to use logic and inference to come to that point where we do differentiate mithya and satyam, right?
Not exactly. See, when you have, say, you said logic and inference, so inference is enough. Inference includes logic,
okay, yeah.
Right? And any inference that you make depends upon what they call the pratijna, the initial statement.
Mm-hmm.
How do you get that initial statement? So the initial statement within, for inference, is always based on either a prior inference, and then you take that back in the end to some sort of a sense perception. So we have inferences building on inferences on
mm-hmm.
inference,
mm-hmm.
because if the initial inference is proper, then the knowledge can be the pratijna, the initial statement for another inference. Right? But in the end, inference is always has for its initial statement something that exists within duality. So if you have something which does not exist within duality as an object, you can't make an inference, nor can you get to it through inference.
I guess I was thinking when we use Ritrisha. So when a student first comes, there is no knowledge of satyam.
Yeah.
But we use Ritrisha, which is part of the empirical reality. And
of course, but the thing is, the Ritrisha, with the subject-object differentiation, is a teaching methodology,
right,
that takes you to the recognition of something that can't be objectified. Right? It takes you to that recognition. Right, but the recognition that you're being given is not something that itself can be objectified. So it becomes a teaching methodology.
Mm-hmm.
Now, once you get to that, having differentiated all of the objects, things that can be objectified, you're left with the self. Now, there's more teaching. That doesn't end the teaching methodology, right? You're just now you're at the subject, which can't be differentiated. So now, what are the implications of that?
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because the teaching is not that you have a stable self inside. That's only the beginning. That there's a stable atma, right? That abides changelessly within your body, mind, sense organs. But that's not enough. The teaching is you are Brahman, which means that stable self, right, that abides in your body, mind, sense organs, which you get to through the Drisha Viveka, that changeless, non-objectable, viable self is the same in all beings, you know? Is the self of all beings. Is Ishvara. And so then, from there, you have to understand Ishvara as being the self of this whole creation. Then the question is this whole creation, which Ishvara is the one self of, I mean, the Atma is the one self of, that we call Ishvara. If we call it Ishvara, then this creation is the Lord, right? The self plus the creation, this whole manifest creation is the Lord. It's like an infinite knowledge then. So that itself is a big teaching, because you can have one non-objectifiable self, which must be the same in all beings. You think, I mean, this is why all of these other teaching methodologies, these other schools come in to act as what we call purvapakshas, objections to this. You have this one self that's differentiated from your body, mind, sense organs, and then you have the body, mind, sense organs, which is part and parcel of this creation. What is the relationship between the body, mind, sense organs, and, which is in this part of this creation, and the self, which has been differentiated from it? Is this physical reality real? Does it have its own satyam? Is it is what we call prakriti? Is it something real? Or is it mitya? So now all of this analysis has to take place. So I'm not going to get in any further right now. The teaching tradition has to reveal all of this. The things that are revealed, right, then can withstand, have and can withstand any amount of logic and analysis. Mm. But the pratignya, the initial statement, is not something that can be arrived at, you know, through logic.
The initial statement being that myself is Brahman, that yeah. initial statement.
Yeah. But the initial statement is revealed through pramana, and then any amount of logic can hold it.
And this is it's always constant and presents itself.
It's self-evident, yeah. We say self-evident, that's svata siddha, self-evident. Svata, itself, siddha, evident, it's self-evident, self-established. Sva prakashatvam, self-luminous. Means you don't need another consciousness or another light to come in and light it up. So that's why we say it's svata. We use these terms all the time, svata siddha, sva prakashatvam, to show that it doesn't require a pramana to reveal it. It requires a pramana to remove the ignorance of the mind, which has superimposed it onto the self, superimposed itself onto the self. That's what you need the means of knowledge for. You don't need a means of knowledge to reveal the self. The self is self-revealed, but you've mistaken it, right, to be something that it's not. That's that ajnanam, that ignorance that's responsible for this anyonya adhyasa, this mutual superimposition. The knowledge comes in to remove that ignorance, but it doesn't come in to light up the self. The self lights up the pramana and the knowledge, right? So whether you have knowledge, self-knowledge, or you do not have self-knowledge, yourself is still aproksha. I am, I exist, I'm a conscious being. That's the Atman that allows you to say that.
So we don't need any sense organs or mind for this to be.
No, you don't. That's an important point because, again, knowledge gives you knowledge of what is, not of what isn't. Right? It gives you, say you're going to have something which is a direct, let's just use direct knowledge like pratyaksha. Pratyaksha is direct knowledge. It's gained through sense perception. You have an immediate cognition of what is there. We say the knowledge of the self is aparoksha because the self is there, but it can't be perceived as an object within subject-object reality, but it is there to be recognized. Right? And so if you're going to gain self-knowledge, it's not going to be an indirect knowledge. It's going to be a direct knowledge because you are present. If you are present, you're present. Mm-hmm. You know, there's no self to travel to. You have to recognize yourself, which is ever-present, which is self-evident, self-shining. You have to recognize that, having differentiated it from the mitya. And you, in the recognition, it's not a partial recognition, as though the mitya is covering it, you know, as though there's some substance there covering it that you have to break through or travel to get to the other side of so that you can see it. You just have to remove the ajnanam that is causing this superimposition. So when you gain self-knowledge, you gain knowledge of what you've always known, you know, that has always been the very basis of your being and your experience. So it's not like, oh, finally I've gained an experience of myself. It's that finally I've recognized myself to be this and not dependent on this. Not that I've gained a new experience. Like in the Tenth Man story, the Tenth Man, when he recognizes I am the Tenth Man, it's not a new experience of himself, but it is a new experience of himself being the Tenth Man, because he thought he was, the Tenth Man was something else, drowned in the river or whatever. Right. So what is it? What does it do? Is it brings the tenth man back to his own self experience? So here, what happens to you? It, you recognize your being, the being that you've always been, as Brahman, just like the tenth man recognizes himself, which he has always been, you know, to be the tenth man that he thought was away. So you thought Brahman, that Ishwara, was away, and you recognize, no, that is me. You recognize that. But the me is already present as you. So you have, then you recognize, I am not this body, mind, sense organs. I am the whole. The same I that I've taken to be the body, mind, sense organs, I recognize that I is Ishwara. See what I mean? So that's why when you do a meditation, say you do a meditation, one good meditation is to just sit there and say, I am the body. Just start there. I am the body. Because, you know, you can just say, "What? Who is the one that totally fills the body? Now, I am present to the body. I am the body." Then you can go in. The same I is the mind. You know? Then you can go in farther. This same I is the one that illumines the mind. It goes like that. So you recognize the only thing good about when you say, I am the body, you are the body and you're free of the body. But since you already know and take for granted that you are the body, it stops the resistance. Okay, I am the body. What is that I like? What am I like? Then you stick with that I that's the body and move inward toward I am the mind. You know, and I am the one like that. So that you recognize that the I has that, what we call anuvritti. The I that you've taken to be the body, you know, is actually free of the body. The I that you've taken to be the mind is actually free of the mind. Okay? So that's the sampradaya. Oops, here we go.
Wow, that was so easy.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So let's look a little bit at this verse. Yes, yeah. Eva Spudanam. Spudanam means just, it actually, the word Spudana, we use it in the Sampradaya, in the Vedanta, as consciousness. When it says Spudanam, it means consciousness. If you look it up in the dictionary, it means pulsing or throbbing.
Oh, yeah.
You know, pulsing or throbbing with life, you know, Spurti, all that. But we use it just as consciousness.
It's in Pratismarama.
Yeah, yeah. It's in Pratismarama too. So, yes, for whom, indeed, Eva, Spudanam, the consciousness, Spudanam, Sadatmakam, that Atmaka, Sat Atmaka, whose nature is Sat. Whose consciousness, which is Sat, we'd say in English, whose consciousness, which is Sat alone, whose nature is Sat, so it means Spudanam, Sadatmakam. Then, Asat means unreal. Mithya asat. Kalpa means as though or like. Kalpa means like tulya, equal to. Because we're talking about mithya. So asat kalpa. Artha here means padartha. Padartha means beginning with space, air, fire, water, earth, all of the things in the creation. So just take artha. Artha means padartha, the meaning of the words. Mm. So in this whole maya, the whole manifest creation is the artha. So like padartha. So space, air, fire, water, earth. That's how they talk about it in the Bhashya. So gum means has gone into. It's a verbal affix that becomes nominal. The one who has gone into all of the things in the creation, the artha, the padartha, space, air, fire, water, earth, who has entered into the creation, which is equal to kalpa, which is equal to asat, means which is not really real, right? It's mithya. So take asat as mithya, which is as though unreal. And when they say asat kalpa, it's as though non-existent. Asat means non, so it's as though non-existent, asat kalpa. Why does it say that? Because nothing in this creation of nama, of names and forms, has any being of its own. You know, so if we look at the clay pot, you can say the pot is as though non-existent because really the only thing there is clay. But then the pot is. That's mithya. Remember, the definition of mithya is sat asat bhyam. Sat asat bhyam. anivacaniya, that which can't be categorized as sat or asat. Right? Because you can't say the pot's not there. But really, there's no pot. Mm-hmm. There's only clay. So that's the asat kalpa. You know, it's as though non-existent. It's equal to equal a kalpa, tulya. It's equal to being asat, you know. But here it is. That's what makes it mitya. So whose consciousness, which is being itself, which is sat itself, basate, it shines, right? Having gone into, as though pervaded, it's gone into this entire creation, which is mitya. Asat kalpa artha, right? Then, sakshat tat tvam asi iti. Sakshat. When you say sakshat, it means something. If sakshat is something that's directly as though in front of you. Like they say when, you know, when a Vedic ritual is being done, there's the ghee that's being offered into the fire. The fire is there. You're perceiving the fire. So we'll say Agni, the Devata Agni, is sakshat. Mm-hmm. Immediately they're present. Ah. Here, the Atma yourself is sakshat. It's immediately present. There's no distance. There's nothing between you, you know, and your self-experience. It's sakshat. So what is sakshat? Tat tvamasi. That thou art. Okay? Iti, this tetvamasi, you are that, which is sakshat, immediately present, the reality of it. Sakshat tetvamasi iti, veda vachasa. By the vachas is words. By the words of the Veda. You know, the Upanishads. Veda vachasa, instrumental singular. By the words of the Veda, veda vachasa. Yaha, he who, the yaha goes back to tasmai, to Dakshinamurti. He who, nominative singular, bodhiyati, causal. He who causes to know. See that, oh yeah, how it looks like the tenth? We did this yesterday.
Yeah.
It looks like a tenth gana. Mm-hmm. So, but bodhiyati is really first parasmaipada. Mm-hmm. So bodhiyati is the causal.
Okay.
He who causes to know. Who does he cause to know? Ashritan. The ones who are sitting before him, who are depending on him, the sishas. The ashritas are the ones who depend on him, who have surrendered to him, who for whom he is their teacher. Okay? Accusative plural. So he who gives knowledge to his sishas, ashritan, by means of the words of the Veda, the Upanishads, in the form of tetramasi, tetramasi iti. So, sakshat bodhiyati, he who gives direct, immediate knowledge, right? He who gives, because of the sakshat, indeclinable, he who gives direct, immediate knowledge, sakshat, to his sishas, ashratan, by means of the Veda, Veda vachasa, in the form of tetramasi, tetramasi iti, Veda vachasa.
Well, that's why he has that chin mudra, then, right?
Yeah. Or his teaching, or whatever. Everybody see?
Mm-hmm.
Then, yet sakshat karanat. By the immediate teaching, sakshat karana, by the immediate means, of whom, bhavet na, by, you would say by the immediate knowledge of whom, sakshat karana, karana is the, like the means of knowledge, the sakshat karana, by the making immediate. Of whom? So take, that's a nice, it's in fifth case, from sakshat karanat, from the making immediate, of whom, means of Dakshinamurti of the Lord, bhavet na punar avritihi. He does not, they're like this, there is the avritihi, there is not the na, bhavet, there is not, bhavet is potential, third person singular, definitely not. Again, punar, avritihi, return. There is no return again. Okay, na bhavet, there is no avritihi, return, coming back. Punar, again, there is no coming back again. Where? Bhava Ambas Nidao. There's no coming back into the this Ambo Nidao means this big red container of water, the ocean. So the big reservoir of water. So it's just a word for the ocean. Into the Amba Nidao, Ambo Nidao of Bhava, of becoming, of samsara. So Bhava Ambo Nidao. Bhava stands for samsara.
Mm-hmm.
Often used, in fact. Bhava has a lot of meanings. It can just mean, you know, being, coming into being. In this context, anything that's becoming, right, is involves change. So into this ocean of becoming, right?
And Nidao means?
Like a big, like big reservoir. Into this big container, you know, storehouse of water, the ocean.
Ocean of samsara.
Yeah, that's what it means. It's just it's a poetic way of saying coming into this ocean of samsara.
Mm-hmm.
So from the direct immediate knowledge of whom, because of that direct immediate knowledge, there is no coming again. There is no rebirth.
Yeah.
There is no return into this ocean of samsara. The jiva, once the jiva, the prarabdha is over, the jiva doesn't come back because the ahankara is not there anymore. Right, so there's no one to come back because you're already Ishwara. You're Ishwara even while you're walking around, but there's a what we call a dagdabija ahankara. Ahankara means that I notion that's born of ignorance, which is now like a burnt seed. Like a jnani will say, you know, I'm going to the store, or, oh, I'm tired, or whatever. The I still exists, is functional. But from the standpoint of the jnani, I'm Brahman. You know, the Atma, your sense of self, is Brahman. It's not a jiva. It's not identified with the body, mind, sense organs anymore. It's just not. It's just always the same. But the body, mind, sense organs is there. It's like enjoying consciousness, the ahankara, the mind, everything is there still functioning. But yourself is Brahman, right? That's when you think of yourself, it's just yourself which is changeless. That's your... because that ajnanam has been removed.
Would you call that a new identity?
It's a shift of the ahankara. It's the shift of the ahankara from the identity born of ajnanam, that because of that superimposition, the I is identified with the body, mind, sense organs. Right? That's what makes it an ahankara. Whereas for ajnani, that identification is still there in a practical sense, but not in a real sense, because the I, now not the I is Brahman.
Mm.
Your sense of self is Brahman, not something that's not a functional aham, because you're never changing. Right? The functional aham, the ahankara, is always changing. Right? Like, I'm going to the store, or I'm tired, or I'm thinking, or I'm reading. These are all different functions. There's no one I that's doing all of these things. It's all that I is always just a product of identification with the object which is doing. Like the eyes are seeing. So if I say I'm seeing, now the I is superimposed on the I. Eyes. But not really. But I'm not going to say the eyes are now seeing and forming a vritti in the mind. That's all teaching. Right? So that type of clarity is what it is. Anyway.
I have a question of the word vritti in this.
Vritti.
How does that fit into the translation or the meaning?
Where?
It's avritti.
Avritti.
Oh.
Avritti means to return, to come back. The word avritti.
Okay.
So it's different than vritti.
Oh, it's not.
Yeah. Let's chant this and then take a break. Repeat after me and then we'll do it together. You okay with that, Kristen?
Yeah.
Okay. Om yasyaiva spuranam sadatmakam asat kalpartakam basate.
Yasyaiva spuranam sadatmakam asat kalpartakam basate.
Sakshat tattvamasiti vedavachasa yo bhutiyatyashritan.
Sakshatattvamasiti vedavachasa yo bodhayatyashritam.
Yat sakshat karanad bhavena punaravrittir bhavam punidau.
Yat sakshat karanad bhavena punaravrittir bhavam punidau.
Tasmai Shri Guru Murtaye Nama Idam Shri Dakshina Murtaye.
Tasmai Shri Guru Murtaye Nama Idam Shri Dakshina Murtaye.
Together.
Yasyaivas Puranam Sadatmakam Asatkalpartakam Pasate Sakshat Tattvamasiti Veda Vachasaya Bodhiyatyashritan. Yat sakshat karanat pavena punaravrittir pavam ponidau. Tasmai Shri Guru Murtaye Namahidam Shri Dakshina Murtaye.
You know that top line? Yasyaivas Puranam Sadatmakam Asatkalpartakam. Sometimes I say come there. I make it a ka just by mistake. I don't know why I do that. But make sure you say gum. Repeat after me.
Yasyaivas Puranam Sadatmakam Asatkalpartakam Pasate. Yasyaivas Puranam Sadatmakam Asatkalpartakam Pasate.
Sakshat tattvamasiti veda vachasa yobodhiyatyashritan.
Sakshat tattvamasiti veda vachasa yobodhiyatyashritan.
Let's do the last two together.
Yat sakshat karanat bhavena punaravrittir bhavam ponidau. Tasmai Shri Guru Murtaye Namahidam Shri Dakshina Murtaye.